characteristics about having a servant's heart. We have probably about 7 or 8 different things here, just that if you truly have a heart for the Lord, truly have a servant's heart, these are things that will just kind of flow from it. These are some different distinctives that you'll see in a heart for God. And here, we chose 2 Timothy 2:4 just as a spot to kick off. The Bible says, "No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier." See, this is the idea, is that if we're really truly going to please God, we're not going to get entangled with the things of this world. And if we're going to be a servant, if we're going to really truly try to be a servant of Jesus Christ, a servant of God, we're going to want to please him. And that's what a servant's job. If you're going to be a good servant, you're going to look to please your master. So tonight there's going to be about 7 to 8 different things that we look at, depending on time, to help us understand what should flow from our heart. That's the first thing I want you to look at and understand. It's found in Acts chapter number 8. There's a story there. If you're going to be a servant for God, you're going to have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Another way you could word it, you're going to have to be sensitive to hear from your master. And that God speaks to our hearts in a small, still voice. And he gives us instruction. And if you really, truly want to be a servant, you're going to have to know what your master wants you to do. And the only way you're going to know what your master wants you to do is by listening to what God has for you. You say, "Pastor, you mean God speaks?" God does speak. Now, maybe you haven't heard him speak to you in a long time. Maybe you got something in your heart that's stopping you from hearing from his voice. That's what sin does. It breaks the fellowship, kind of clogs up the lines. But when God speaks to your heart, and you say, how do you know God's speaking to your heart? Anytime that you are inspired to do something for him, in a service for him, anytime that you were have this thought or there's something speaking to your heart to move forward and doing something for God, that's God working and speaking. When there's a sin that comes up against and you're trying to determine what is right and what is wrong, the Holy Spirit of God will convict a child of God or a Christian and will say, "Hey, you shouldn't be doing that." That's God speaking to you. And there's lots of different ways and lots of different avenues that God speaks to our hearts. Through the preaching of the Word of God, God speaks to us. Through the reading of his word, through prayer, through even singing and listening to godly music, God can speak to our hearts in so many different ways. If you are here tonight and you are saved and on your way to heaven, the only way you got saved is by God speaking to your heart and telling you that you needed a Savior, and God convicting you of your sin, and God speaking to you, showing you your need, convicting of your sin, and then drawing you near him, and you believing and accepting him by faith. That's how God speaks to you. So if you're a Christian, God has at least spoken to your heart once. And I can guarantee if you're a child of God, God speaks to you on a regular basis, trying to draw you back into fellowship if you're away, trying to inspire you to do more for him if you're close to him. And this story here, we got the story of Philip. Now, Philip, in Acts chapter number 8, he is going out and he is going and traveling. The disciples at this point in time, because of all the terror and because of all the persecution, has been spread out throughout the world. And it's funny how God uses all types of things. God used the persecution of the church to get those disciples out of Jerusalem and send them out to the other parts of the world. Once again, people are just pawns in the hands of God and their service that God has. And God's job and God's work and God's plan is all going. God's performing his plan. He is using people and for his plan and for his benefit and for his glory. And here in Acts chapter number 8, I want you to look at a couple of verses here. Acts chapter number 8, it talks about how there is a great revival that's going on in Samaria. And Paul and Philip sees this. Philip here is helping win this town, this city to the Lord. And as he does this, let's go to Acts chapter number 8. Let's look at verse number 3. It says, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." It says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." Now, here's what happens, is that because of the persecution in Jerusalem, the disciples are dispersed out, the believers are dispersed out. I know Philip was not a disciple. I believe Philip here is one of the deacons here or it could be Philip, it could be a different individual and an evangelist type in here. He is seeing a great revival happen in this place, Samaria. And you would think, okay, Samaria needs Philip more than anybody else right now because they're young Christians, they're getting saved, and these things are going on. And Philip is probably happy and he's excited seeing God work and seeing God use them. Then the Holy Spirit of God, in Acts chapter 8, verses 29 and 30, says, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest?" Most of us would know this story. Is that the Spirit of God takes Philip and moves him away and tells him to go out into this place and catch up with this one man, this Ethiopian eunuch that's sitting in a chariot. Now, in our wisdom and in our timing and our thinking, I should stay over here in Samaria because there's so many people. I should be doing God's will because I'm here and I'm helping people here. And God tells us sometimes, stop what you're doing and move over, and I want you to go to this place and help this person. You say, God, I don't understand. Over there, there's so many more people. Here, you only have one. Over there, you got a better chance to influence others. Here, you only have one. If you're going to do and be a servant of God, you're going to have to learn to become sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to learn to become sensitive to what God is teaching and what God is telling us. We, most of us, would know that the tradition of the history that man that Philip helped win to Christ, went back to Ethiopia and started a great church, and there was a great work that was done that still stands to today, the work that's being done and felt there because of Philip being sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. Now, servants do not dictate their schedules. They do not dictate their agendas. Like Philip, they're sensitive to the Holy Spirit to serve wherever, whenever, and however he prompts them. So if we want to be a good servant, you say, why in the world would I want to be a servant? It's because that's what God's called us to do. That's what Jesus is called to do. We learned about that this morning. He gave us that demonstration about washing the feet. He says, look, if I'm your Lord and Master and I'm going to wash your feet, you need to do that also to others. He says, I left an example for you to follow. And that example is to be willing to serve others. And if we're going to serve others, if we're going to be a servant, we're going to have to learn how to listen to God. I told you on Wednesday night, we talked a little bit about there's a difference between hearing from God and hearing from the flesh. And how do you separate those things? You know, it's hearing the word of God, looking at the Bible, comparing the things you're hearing to the word of God, what truth is, and letting God speak to your hearts. Many times it's in a quiet place, just asking God to speak to your heart, studying scriptures, looking at scriptures. I told you when God was calling me to preach, I went up to an old preacher and asked him, I says, I don't know if this call is from God or if this call is from the devil. And he says, the devil's never going to call you to preach. He said, the devil's never going to try to get you to do something for God. That's always God that's going to do that. And that helped me. And if we're talking about hearing from the Lord, God's never going to ask you to do something that differs from scripture. And we need to learn to be sensitive to God. If we want to be a servant, which I hope we're developing a heart to do it, it can't be about us and our desires or what we think is best. We must listen to what the master or what our master is saying. Are you sensitive to what God has for you? I know in our hearts we think we're doing what's best. In our hearts, we're serving exactly where we think we should. We're accomplishing what we think we should be doing. But are we being sensitive to God's voice in the manner? Would we be willing to get up and go move somewhere else? Go to a different ministry? Serve in a different capacity? Get out of our comfort zone? Reach somebody with the gospel? Knock on a door? Will we be willing to help talk to a child? Will we be willing to help an older person? I mean, we are so good at the things that we like to do. And Philip here in his comfort zone, he goes and the Lord uses him in Samaria. And God says, I don't want you there anymore. I want you to go over here. And he moves. Are you sensitive to God? Are you really, truly sensitive? Because if you're going to be a servant, you're going to have to learn how to obey. Because if you're not going to obey, there's no sense of you calling yourself a servant. Because a servant should always want to please his master. And if we're going to please our master, we got to know what our master wants, don't we? If we don't know what our master wants, that can become very frustrating. You ever try to work for someone and them not give you a clear indication of what they want you to do? You can work hard and hard and hard, and then you turn around, the person's unhappy or unthankful for what you did. I've had bosses like that in the past. If they would just tell me what they would want me to do, I would do it. Thankfully, we serve a God that tells us what he wants us to do. He shows us in his word. And if we are going to be faithful with the little things, which are important, which are foundational, reading our Bible, praying, soul winning, giving, if we do those things that we know we're supposed to do, God will continue to get, lead and guide and direct us. But we got to be a servant first. We got to be sensitive. When God touches the hard parts, when God tries to change certain areas in our life that's been there for a long time, we got to be sensitive to say, okay, Lord, I'm willing to be obedient. Philip was obedient because he was willing to be sensitive to hear from the master's voice. Second thing I want you to think about is you must be, to be a servant, you need to be eager to help. You need to be eager to help. And I told the Sunday school class this morning that I had the privilege from probably the age of 17 all the way up to maybe 28 or 29 from when I got here. I was in a lot of different management positions, and I hired a lot of different people. A lot of different people worked for me. And I tell you, a true good employee would be one that was eager to help. One who was willing and interested in doing what was needed to be done. Even if it meant that they had to go out of their job description a little bit. Sometimes people get focused and say, I got hired to do this, and I'm not going to do anything else. And that's when I hired people. I always told them, I says, look, this is your main priority, but you need to do whatever is going to be best for the company. If I need you to go out and sweep a parking lot because somebody else is sick, you need to be willing to do that. If I need you to do something else, you need to be eager to help. And that's what you look for in an employee. That's what you're looking for, is someone who is willing to do what is best for the employer. Now, hopefully your employer doesn't take advantage and doesn't abuse you and does not use you. But as a servant, that's not your interest. Your interest is to be doing things as to the Lord, not as a men pleaser, but being a God pleaser. And here, a servant is going to want to pitch in wherever the help is needed, even if that means it does not quite fall under his job description. Timothy, and you can look at the verses up there. I put them up there because we're going to different parts of the Bible. If you want to turn to them, it's in Philippians chapter number 2. Timothy was this kind of servant to the Apostle Paul. In Philippians chapter number 2, Paul writes this. Remember, Paul is where in Philippians? He's in a prison cell. He says, for the same cause also do ye joy, and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Say, how does that apply to being eager to help? Timothy is willing to go and do something nobody else wanted to do. It says here that everyone else is going to go and they're seeking their own. No one else wants to seek the things of Jesus Christ. Paul needed helpers. Paul being in charge, or maybe not in charge, but starting all these multiple ministries and trying to help disciple and trying to help mentor and lead these different ministries. Paul here is giving guidance, and he wants to know what's going on in Philippi, but no one is willing to be a help to him. All he has, he says, is Timothy that's left. No one else is like-minded. They will not naturally care for your state. You're not going to naturally want to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Your flesh is going to pull against it. You're not going to naturally want to serve God. You're going to want to serve yourself. And that's what it's important. If you really want to be a servant, you got to be eager to help. You got to know what the master wants, and you got to say, okay, that's what the master wants. That's what the master needs. I'm going to go out and I'm going to do what the master wants me to do. Now, first thing, though, is you got to remember what we went back to, is you got to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit of God wants. You ever have somebody that worked for you, or even maybe yourself, I thought that's what you wanted me to do. I stepped out and tried to do something, but it wasn't what the master or what the employer wanted. That does happen, but it begins over here being sensitive to God's voice. But after that, being eager to serve, being willing to say, okay, I'm willing to do something that maybe nobody else is willing to do, eager to help. That's what a true servant is, someone who's eager to help. And I'm not saying that every single person is called to do every single ministry. But God does call you to do something. God puts a church together and fitly joined together so that all the ministries that the Lord places upon the pastor's heart will be fulfilled by those that are willing to do things and be eager. So I want to encourage you, be willing and eager to help, just as Timothy was. Next thing I want you to look at, and you can take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 17 if you like. This one is a longer passage of Scripture. And I didn't really know how to word this, but the servant's heart will not look for praise is the way I did it. But this is a parable that Jesus gives. And to me, this is really eye-opening. I read this passage of scripture and say, wow, that is really what the servant is all about. And when I read this, it humbles me and thinking, am I really that good of a servant? They're not going to seek for praise. You're not going to look for a pat on the back. We are just doing the things that we're supposed to do. So often, we like to think that because we're doing more than somebody else, that we should get some type of award or somebody should be thankful for us. But here in this passage of scripture, it talks about the master and the servant, and it really just puts us and helps us give us good perspective here. Let's look here in Luke chapter 17. This is Jesus speaking. He says, but which of you, having the servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup and gird myself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Wow, I don't know about you, but to me that speaks to my heart in this idea that, man, I'm serving the Lord. I'm doing the best I can. I'm working hard. I'm just being faithful what God's given me to do. And so many times when people do that, they're thinking, oh, look at me. I've done well. I'm looking for the praise of men. I'm looking for someone to be thankful for me. I'm looking that to somebody to take notice, like James and John today was saying, hey, can I sit on the right hand, the left hand? I want that place of prestige. I want that place of power. I want that place of proximity. That Jesus is saying here, look, if you got a servant, even if he's gone out and he's worked hard all day, when he comes in the house, if it's his responsibility to fix dinner, he's not going to tell that servant, hey, look, you eat first. I'm going to sit and I'm going to wait for you to do the things that you want to do and take care of yourself, and then you can take care of me. A servant doesn't do that. You say, Pastor, that sounds kind of harsh. Read the story. This is what a master and a servant relationship is. We like to think, hey, if I can take care of myself and do the things that I want to do and be happy serving myself first, I will give God what's left over. If God just gives me my time and gives me an opportunity to take care of me, then I'll be okay with doing what God wants me to do later on. God says, no. He says, I'm supposed to come first. He says, if you had somebody that was working for you, or somebody that you had paid some type of servant, he says, you wouldn't allow that to happen. Then why do we think it's okay for us to say, hey, let me look at me first. Let me look at God second. And then it goes and continues on talking about, if you look what it says in verse number 10. It says, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded of you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. We're only doing the things that is our duty to do. We're just doing the things that God's called us to do. Is that good? Yes. Should we encourage one another to do that? Yes. But we got to remember, what are we? We are servants of Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you not to look for praise. Just because we've done the things that God has called us to do does not set us out as extraordinary. We're just being a servant. We're doing what he's called us to do. And once again, that is humbling. We like to think that because we serve, we're special. We're just doing what God's called us to do. Now, being a servant is only part of who we are. We are also joint heirs of Jesus Christ. We've been adopted in the family. We will reign with him someday. But here in this world, in this earth, we had the opportunity to minister to others and be a servant to others. Are we truly being a servant of Jesus Christ? A servant's heart, it will be sensitive to the speaking of God or speaking of the master. A servant's heart will be eager to help. And a servant's heart will recognize when they're serving, they are just doing their duty. They are just doing what God had called them to do. Boy, that's humbling to me. And it helps me understand that I'm supposed to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Next thing, a servant's heart will be dependent upon God's power. A servant's heart will be dependent upon God's power. A servant usually does not have very much. If they're a slave, they've been bought with a price. The things that they even have are the master's. Everything they have is something that belongs to the person who owns them. Now, here's the thought. The only thing they can do, the only service they can have, is by using the master's whatever he owns. He needs to use the master's power, the master's ability. He needs to use the master's resources because he does not have his own resources. He must use the resources that the master gives him. And if we're going to understand what it means to be a servant, we're going to understand that we need to rely or to be dependent upon God's power. Spiritual servants are well aware of their own inability. They place no confidence in the flesh, but they place faith in the power of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, talk about this. It says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble were called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and the things which are despised, have God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." We are dependent upon God. He calls us to help glorify himself in our lives. Now, he said, who wants to be a servant anyway? We should all want to be servants, because that's what God's called us to be here. But we must learn to be sensitive to his voice. We must be eager to help. We must not look for praise, and we must say, I am dependent on the resources that God has given me. But think about the great resources God's given you. He has given you his spirit, his power. He's given you the opportunity to pray. He's given you his word. These are great resources that he has given you to be able to serve the way you're supposed to serve. Next thing I want you to think about, a servant's heart will be true to the master. A servant's heart will be true to the master. In a word, servants are meant to be faithful. The Bible talks about how stewards, they're required to be found faithful. Because they've discarded any personal ambition, they are free to measure their greatness not by apparent success, but by faithfulness. Like the Christians in Smyrna, leaders with a servant's heart are true to the master, even unto death. Their goal is to please the master, to bring honor to him. Look what it says in Revelation 2:10. It says to this church in Smyrna, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. But it says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." This is what we're looking for. This is what I think that others that were managers and other people we've hired and had people working underneath them, you're looking for an employee that is faithful. You want to know that they're going to be there and be on time and that they're competent. They're going to be able to finish the job. Give me someone who is a hard worker, even if they might take a little bit longer, who I know and can count on, versus someone who might be great at the job and only shows up half the time. You want someone who's going to be faithful over and over, someone who's going to be consistent, someone who's going to be willing to serve and put the company first. And this is what God's looking for. He's not looking for someone to be like a rocket and spiral up there and just kind of burst and kind of fall down. God is looking for someone to run the race, someone to be patient while they run the race, someone to continue on. They might not be the fastest, but remember, we're in a marathon. We're not in a sprint. Someone who is in little by little serving God, being faithful time after time in and time out. That's what a servant does. It's faithful. He's true to the master. You say, true to the master. I'm true to the Lord. Are we really faithful? I know it's Sunday night. You say, Pastor, I'm here. It's Sunday night. I'm faithful. That's good. I'm glad you're here. Pastor, I was here. All these other services. That's good. That's for Sunday nights. But a servant is one who's faithful and true to the master in all areas. Next thing is a servant's heart will take care of the master's possessions. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles to Luke chapter number 19. You should be there at Luke 17, but Luke number 19. Take care of the master's possessions. Now, as a servant, you got a responsibility to take care of the things that the master puts you in charge of. Remember the story of Joseph. The master put Joseph in charge of his whole entire household. And God has given each of us certain possessions. They say, Pastor, those are mine. Well, if you have this understanding, if you're a servant, you've been bought with a price, get the things that you have, they are not yours, they are God's. Listen to some of the verses. The earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Now, if the earth is God's, the fullness thereof, everyone who dwells, guess what? It's not yours. Look what it says. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And he's not just talking about the ones that are in the mines still. He's saying that all the wealth of the world is his. Exodus 19:5 says, for all the earth is mine. Now, here's this principle. Is if you're a Christian, what you have belongs to God. It's God's. I tell this to my wife sometimes when we're talking about things and, you know, whether or not we're going to use something inside the ministry or going to use a resource or in the past maybe driving the van for Kids Crusade and things like that. And she voices some of her concerns. I know, and she's always more willing to do things than I am. And, you know, sometimes she'll voice her concern. And sometimes I guess got to say, you know what? It's God's. It's not ours. And I'm not saying that we have to give everything we have to use unwisely as resources, but if the possessions we have are God's, we should be using them for God's service. Now, God gives us things. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. There's nothing wrong with having things that are that we can enjoy. But if this is the principle that what we have is God's, we should be serving and using it for God's glory. As a servant, we must learn to say, these things that God has given me, whether it be time, whether it be talent, whether it be treasure, it's God's. And God has given me a steward to do it. And that's why I tell our parents, especially with those that have kids inside the house, God gave you those children for you to raise. For who? For God. According to your way? No, he gave those kids so you can raise them according to the way that God wants you to raise them. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This is the idea here. Everything you have, the relationships you have, these are things that God has given you. They are provisions that God has given you. Just as a servant does not have his own resources and must depend on the master to give him the resources, we as believers do not have our own resources, but we depend on the master to give us the resources that we want him to give. Look at this story here. In Luke chapter 19, verse number 13, the Bible says, "And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come." Actually, we'll go back up to verse number 12 to help you understand a little bit about it. He said, "Therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return." Now, the nobleman here represents Jesus Christ. He came into a country. He received the kingdom. He went and left, and he's going up in heaven. Someday he is going to return. Later on in the story, the nobleman returns and requires the men to give an account of what they did. Look what it says in verse number 15. "And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading." He's saying that this Jesus Christ is gone and he has given to us our, and they call it talents here, but he's given to us possessions and resources, talents, treasure, time. You know, time is a valuable thing. He's given us this body, and I'm not saying that you have to be super healthy and go on some type of great health kick, but he's given you a body to use, and we should take good care of that body so we can use it for the future. These are all resources, and the Bible speaks about that, making sure that we take good care of ourselves. Now, a servant will take care of his master's possessions. What has God given you? What has God given you that is his? And how are you using it? You keep on going and you think about this. You think about the possessions I have. The servant's going to be aware of dangers. You know, if you're raising kids, there's some dangers that could happen. You're going to be aware of those things. If he's giving you a person, a disciple, you got to realize there's dangers that person can fall into traps and you got to be preventing. You've been given so many great opportunities and privileges and responsibilities. Maybe if you have a husband or wife, how are you taking care of that possession? God's giving you that mate. How are you taking care of that possession? If he's giving you children, if he's giving you friends, if he's giving you a Sunday school class, if he's giving you a junior church, a van route, a ministry, it's limitless when you have this thought that I want to be a servant. And if I'm a servant, this really belongs to God. How is it that God wants me to administer? And how is it that God wants me to take care of the possessions he's given me? Last but not least, the servant's heart will be well taken care of. So I know it seemed like, Pastor, you've been kind of hard. You know, you keep on saying, as a servant, you need to do this. As a servant, you need to do this. You got to remember who you're serving. You got to remember you're serving Jesus Christ. He cares more for you than you care for yourself. He cares and loves you, and he is not He is not a master that is going to treat you wrongly or treat you bad. You serve the loving Savior. And that's what it says in chapter 19, verse 17. And he said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful, good servant. Because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Saying that if you are faithful in the little things, he will give you more. I know that does not always mean material possessions. I know there's people out there that preach a prosperity gospel. It says, you should never get sick. You should always be rich. And I look at that and I read the stories about the Apostle Paul and think about all the disciples that gave their lives and they were martyred for the cause of Christ and says, were they doing something wrong? I mean, because if they're saying that you're never supposed to get sick and you're always supposed to be rich and you're always supposed to have this, this, and this, you know, where is that found in the New Testament? And if they did have things, you know what they did? They gave it anyway. I don't see that in the Bible. But I do see how people are taken care of. I do see how the Lord never leaves them nor forsakes them. You read those stories about the Apostle Paul and he's sitting in prison and the Lord's right there with him. You see him faithfully serving and rejoicing. You see these other stories about God helping them and walking step by step through this path. You see what it says in Psalms 37:25. It says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I don't got all the answers. I really don't. But I know if you're a faithful servant, the Lord will take care of you. Now, does that mean you're going to have everything you want? No, that means you will have everything you need. As a servant, you're never going to get rich. As a servant, you're never going to have so much that you're not going to know what to do with. Because the Lord always is going to have a plan for what you have. Say, Pastor, I know Christians that are rich and that are wealthy. Yes, but God has a plan for those things. Just because they might have a lot of money doesn't mean that God doesn't have a plan for that treasure. People might have things laid up here on this earth. But where is your heart at? Like we learned last Sunday night, Brother Mark preached. Where is your heart at? Because that's where your treasure is going to be. Because if you realize it's God's anyway, even though you've been blessed with something or blessed with a lot, it's not yours. It's the Lord's. Tonight, a servant's heart will always listen, will always be sensitive to what the master wants. You're not going to know what to do unless you're listening for God's voice. And sometimes it means you have to be willing and eager to help. You got to be willing to get up out of your comfort zone and go do something somebody else would not be willing to do, like Timothy. He was the only one still there with Paul. You got to be willing and eager to help. You need to be willing to take care of the things God's given you, the possessions he's given you. You need to be willing to serve in whatever capacity he has. Now, I don't know about you, but the more I read and the more I look at this and the more I understand about the Bible and understand about the book of Mark, how it presents Jesus Christ as a servant, and I read those passages about who the greatest is, makes me wonder how good of a servant I really am. And I pray, I know we spent a lot of time on this today, I know we spent a little bit on it last week, but if our heart is to please the Lord, am I really that good of a servant? Can you do it? God's not going to ask you to do something that you can't do. You're going to have to depend on him. That's one of the points. A servant's going to realize that it's God's resources. I need his power. I need his strength. I don't have my own resources to accomplish this. I need God's help. Are you a servant of Jesus Christ? If not, what do you need to work on to help you get there? Being a servant means that you're going to be, as we learned earlier, the greatest. Or let him who wants to be the leader, let him who wants to be the chiefest, be the servant, be the minister. If you really want to know what greatness is, greatness comes while you serve. Think about Jesus Christ. When he came to this world, he took on the form of a servant, became obedient even unto death. That, you find that in Philippians. But later on in Philippians, where does God exalt Jesus Christ to? That position that's above all names, where every knee shall bow. How did he get there? He got there because he was a servant. He became the greatest. Where do we get that position in God's eyes? Being greatest is by willing to be a servant. Tonight, What type of servant are you? And do you have a servant's heart? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. I pray the Lord's worked on your heart like he has mine, maybe even in a greater way and to greater extents, about being willing to be a servant. Being a servant of Jesus Christ is a privilege. It's the greatest position you can ever hold. I don't know where the Lord might have spoke to you in this passage of Scripture and in these stories, but are you sensitive to God? Are you hearing from God? Are you listening to God? Are you eager to serve and eager to work? God may be speaking to your heart about breaking out of your comfort zone and doing what the master wants you to do. A good servant would just say, yes, sir. A good servant's going to be dependent upon God's power. A good servant's going to look at his possessions and say, you know what? These are not mine. They are God's. Lord, what is it you want me to do with them? We're going to take care of the possessions he's given us, whether it's a friendship, whether it's a son or a daughter, or a grandchild, or a husband and a wife, a Sunday school class. We're going to take care of those possessions, not the way we think is best, but instead according to what the Bible, the Master's, says, because we should always seek to please him. Whether it be our treasure, which is our finances and possessions, whether it be our time, or whether it be our talents, they are his. Let us use them the way he would want us to. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, speak to people's hearts. Lord, help us to understand the importance of being a servant of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.